coffee stay black, just like me. Don't need no sugar, don't need no cream.
Welcome back to the Coffee Black Podcast. It's your boy Bartholomew Jones. We here with the homies in big effect right now, man. We got the homie, the OG, Propaganda, and from the West Coast. Yeah, how you feeling, man?
Man, little red-eye flight energy, but I'm glad to be here. I'm about to get the jet fuel right now.
Yes, sir. We got the homie Tremaine, my brother from another mother, you know what I mean, from H-Town. Out here showing me. You know
what go down?
Yeah. In the building. You doing good, bro?
Man, I'm feeling great. This is a surreal opportunity for me, so it's just like Prop said.
Bro, get it in. Look, the favor ain't fair right now. It's a lot of beautiful things happening today. I'm excited to get back into the podcast. We've been going for a minute. We've been cooking. Now we back. We're here at Outer Space, which is an amazing creative studio in Memphis, Tennessee, ran by the homies at Unapologetic. So big shout out to them. This whole season, we're going to be producing it here and doing some really beautiful things in store for you guys. But before we get into that, I always like to ask our guests on the podcast what y'all sipping on today. You know what I mean? What kind of coffee you drinking? What's got you curious? What's got you excited? And I think we got some things on the table we can get into.
Yeah.
Prop, what's this, bruh?
Bruh, big homie Terraform.
Yeah.
So that's a Ethiopian from Harar region.
Okay.
It's an heirloom. Yeah, the brew method, so it's a cold brew, and believe it or not, like, it's not a flash, like, or a snap chill. Like,
mm-hmm.
It's from a concentrate that's concentrated cold.
You know,
the guy figured out how to do some mad scientist stuff, and so, it's from a concentrate, and then we stretch it to, like, a 12-1, and...
Oh, it's a 12-1. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I ain't gonna hold you, bro. You know I don't like cold brew.
Yeah.
Like,
that don't tell nobody it's a 12-1.
We're gonna chop that up.
I'm just kidding. We won't tell nobody else.
Yeah.
We ain't gonna tell nobody else though.
Yeah. Big coffee nerd energy. I generally don't like cold brew. I've been saying this for like 3 years.
Yeah.
And when we started doing cold brew, I was like, it's cold brew. It's not cold brew, it's cold brew. I told you. So it's low key. I'm sneak dissing cold brew, right?
Yeah, I got it.
I had my guys join and I was like, oh wow, this is an amazing snap chill. If you don't know, for non-coffee nerds out here, there's coffee is the seed of African fruit. You can take that seed and break it down multiple ways.
Mm-hmm.
There's kind of like a debate in the coffee nerd space about like, okay, if we break down the soluble parts of the seed using cold water or hot water, which one is more preferable, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm on the side of like, yo, the heat is, it just breaks down more of the soluble particles. But when I drank this joint, this is the only cold brew I rock with. I'm gonna set it on camera, bro. Like, Coffee Black, Bart Jones, this is the only cold brew we stepping out here in these streets, bro, because I don't like, it be tasting like paper bags, you feel me?
It really do if you don't do it right.
The cellulose wall gets too much contact with the water.
And also, without getting too far into the nerdery too, like most of the time, like cold brew is like, it's kind of the annoying little brother of coffee. Like you just, whatever beans you had left, like just take the 4 bags that you never finished at the house.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just grind them coarse.
Yep.
And just throw it in the fridge.
It'd be trash coffee, bro.
It'd be your leftover beans, and you just put it in the fridge and save it for later because you don't want to waste your bag that you have 5 bags at home that can't finish a full thing.
Yep.
So you just put them all in there. So it's like it never got its respect. So if somebody treats it like specialty, you're going to get that. And again, I'm of the
That's a whole bar though right there. Like it never really got the process it deserved.
That's a summary. And I'm of the belief that, like, I mean, I can go full extraction, you know, TSI, like I could go there, but I'm also like, man, did you like it? Like your best cup of coffee, cup you like, cup you drink, one in your hand.
I said it a lot. I ain't gonna hold you. Like I'd be like, my OG said the best cup of coffee is the one in your hand, you know what I mean? So if you heard me say that, that's prop, you know what I mean? Let's get into it, bro. We're going to do a little live taste test.
Now my insecurity is saying, now listen. Okay.
Hey, bro.
It's going to taste. There's three different taste experiences.
Look, nigga, no sugar, no cream, bro. We got to keep it a bean. No, you know what I mean? Like,
no, I'm saying there's the room temperature experience.
Right, there's the room temperature
on ice.
And then there's
the straight out the fridge experience.
No, I feel
they
you.
All different experiences.
If it's good like this, though.
If it's good like that, it's good.
My niggas, it's good.
Ah. It's good. I haven't had gold brew yet.
Yeah. Give me the real reaction. Oh, no. So hold on. Okay,
reaction.
Here we go. You got
to
get the
okay.
You know what I mean? Here we go.
Right on the mic.
Yeah.
That's the man. That nitrogen is in there, right?
Yeah, that's that gold, homie. Woo. All right, first off the nose. Mm.
Oh, this is sweet. Good God.
Hey, it's crazy. So I've had it before.
Hey,
that was a true reaction.
So Juneteenth weekend, that's what I was on all weekend. Bro, no water, just go through the whole weekend.
Listen to me, though. Let me talk. Yo. No sugar, no cream still, though, fam.
Of course.
It's no sugar, no cream in that.
I believe you. I know.
It's that monk fruit. You know what I'm saying, bro?
This boy say ingredients, coffee and water.
Yeah.
That's what mine say, ingredients. Yeah. Coffee, water.
Yo, prop, this crazy.
Mm.
You could chug it, huh?
Now they go crazy, bro.
Yeah, it's chuggable.
Dang. Ooh.
Sheesh.
I got like some chocolate.
No, you definitely get chocolate, but you get like the raisin.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah,
it's
the Concord grape.
It's crazy.
And nah. So look, if you were to take the room temperature and you put it over the ice.
I got my pinky out. Hold up.
You take the room temperature, put it over the ice, it's like orange rinds.
Yeah.
Like you get that with it. It's crazy, dude.
But what I appreciate about this is the finish. That be my issue with cold brew is the finish.
It's wild.
Be like I just put paper bags on my brown paper bags on my tongue.
Yeah.
And this joint finishes clean.
Yeah.
Like it's like flavor. You get the chocolate, you get the raisin, you do get some of that orange rind that you mentioned, and then it's over. And I like as an experience that makes me want to tap back in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And be like, okay, we really here with it. Hey, if you in the studio, feel free to come grab a joint or grab one of the ones outside. We want to know what y'all think. This crazy.
This is
what you think about the gold brew? Keep it a bean, bro.
Yo, it's
God dog, bro. Like, ah! I didn't it was like no part of me expected this. Now.
Yeah.
Yeah. No part.
Okay, so one more coffee note. The crazy thing is about sweetening it with monk fruit. And we have a couple other low glycemic index sweeteners. But when you do it, it doesn't like a lot of times when you have sugar inside of coffee, the way your body is gonna break down the chemical content in there, the nutrients in there, is like it's gonna get what's bioavailable to you first. And because sugar is gonna be right there in front of you, especially if you have cream too, a lot of times your body ends up following, you know, the energy rise of the sugar. So like
sugar,
the sugar is like quick up, quick down,
and
you're drinking coffee for energy. But when you have sugar and cream in there, it's like, it's a weird, now I'm like uppers and downers at the same time. Like the sugar dropping me, but the caffeine trying to push me. Yeah. And then you got the milk doing the stuff in the gut. But when you use the monk fruit, it's like there really is no blood sugar spike from that. So you just get the energy from the caffeine first. That's what your body processes. And it's like in the studio, it just like we kill these at Cypher's, bro. Just back to back to back.
Because that's what I'm feeling now.
Yeah.
So like my body is already like warm, like I can feel a kick, I can feel the energy, but like I can still like right now, like of course like no bitter notes, nothing like I can still taste exactly what I drank.
Still tastes like coffee.
15-30 seconds ago, like it, but I want more. Like,
That was my fear. Like, my fear when we first did it was like first 5 sips are gonna be dope. You're gonna get half to the can, whole other flavor, and I'm gonna be like, damn.
You know what I mean? I just had another sip. Like, it's
still there.
Exactly what I had when I first opened the can. Good. I want it, like, it's bananas.
The thing we said, too, was, like, coffee is an African fruit. It should taste like it, right? And, so it's just thinking about, we can get into Terraform right now. I just want to say why we're here. So, right, we're here because tonight is the first inaugural Black Barista Exchange dinner, gala, fundraising dinner. And so this is an amazing project that Prop, the big OG, you know what I mean, has stamped. He's been supporting it, sponsoring it. And so, we're here in the city. We about to be at Tone tonight. And we actually about to head to a cypher, but we wanted to stop before we do that just to kind of, be able to stamp this moment to share this and also to kick off the podcast, right? This is a new season that's about to launch. So it's inaugural first episode. We've been back. We back, baby. You know what I mean? Better than ever. And I wanted to get into it since we're talking about this whole idea of, like coffee is a fruit. It's an African fruit. It should taste like it, right? Mm-hmm. And the idea, which I think we share a lot of the same faith roots, so the idea that God don't make no junk, God don't make mistakes, that where things are placed are important and are intentional, right? Yeah. My belief has always been, okay, if God said that's what it is, it's that for a reason, right? And you can expand that, embellish that, but don't ignore that, right? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's don't obfuscate the facts. So it's like, bro, where coffee is from matters.
Yeah.
Right? Not to say that nobody else can have it, but to say, like, there is an intent that was meant to be communicated by those people.
They had
a certain inheritance. You know, even thinking about the end of times and, like, each nation having a unique treasure that they bring. Mm-hmm. It's like those are things that those people have been given because that's their skill set, one body, different parts, right? So, like, yo, when we think about this, right, one of the things that's been so inspiring, like, that was one of the inspirations for me to say, well, what could have happened if Africans got to share coffee across the continent instead of it going around the world and back through the through the scramble for Africa and the slave trade. And like that concept is very when I heard Terraform for the first time, and I've been bumping your music for a long time. We gonna say when I started to, you know what I mean? But it's big OG for a reason. When we started getting into that, I was like, bro, there's so much synergy here, right? About like the idea of taking an idealized version of the way things could be or should be, and then terraforming our reality to be like that right now, right? And my sociology professor used to call it like a Christian sociological imagination at Wheaton. But like to me, the idea that things can be a certain CSI, right? Shout out to Professor Kim, you know, the Korean homies be holding it down. But like, tell us more about kind of that concept for you, and connect that to you because you got a whole. We'll get into the business end of it, but like, tell us about Terraform, the Terraform Propaganda Cinematic Universe, how that came to be. We just spent way too long nerding out about this coffee.
No, but like, we'll get to it.
Yeah, tell me about it.
I've actually had to work on how to do all this for like business pitches. Mm-hmm. I've been able to get it down to two.
Oh, you've been pitching?
Yeah,
I've been pitching.
Oh, okay. Shout out to the pitchers. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So. The idea started with my manager kind of saying, what do you want to talk about for the next 10 years? And I was like, 10 years? Yeah.
That's not a question I feel like artists get to ask themselves often, right? Because it's almost about the next release cycle, the next single. But that's a different approach.
Next single, or whatever project it is, if it's right.
Yeah.
It's your next 10 years. You know what I mean? So
yeah, you could definitely have a Soulja Boy moment, and now you just hitting several dances for the next 20 years.
You know? Listen, you just got to carry you. So for me, it was like, okay, then that's like a magnum opus if you're talking about 10 years. So so then I had to say, well, what have I been talking about? So then you have to go keep like sort of, rather than distilling down, you have to like keep expanding the lens and being like, when I think of all the things that I've done, whether it was teaching high school, you know, working in politics, doing, you know, justice, making hip hop, making poetry, whatever it is, it was like, it was all about understanding and forming culture. You know what I'm saying? Even the environmental work. When I did get a chance to go to the Congress, it was like, it was about climate change. You know what I'm saying? So I was like, dang, this is all about like creating a world that I want to see, right? And then I stumbled upon the term Terraform.
Yeah, you know, that's a sci-fi term,
Sci-fi term.
Yeah.
About the process of making a planet livable. You know what I mean? A distant one. But I was like, man, well, Earth is getting less and less livable. You know what I mean? So I was like, so for me, it was like Terraform originally started as like, this is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. I'm going to build livable worlds. You know what I'm saying? Whether it's the planet we're on, our inner planets, you know what I'm saying? Our families, our communities, our sociology, you know what I'm saying? So all of it. So then that lended itself to the first release, which was a book of poetry about the idea of terraforming, broken up into four movements, the sky, terraform the sky, the soil, the people, and the possibility, right?
I see you with the alliteration.
Sky the soil.
Come on, bro. Somebody was a pastor in the background?
People, possibility. Jeez. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So with that, each of those had musical EPs and kind of like releasing, you know, as the book went along and they were carrying the concepts. And then the last part of it was the cold brew. So the picture was, okay, so if we're terraforming our inner selves, like you said, I'm imagining a better future.
Yeah.
Then a better future, if you're following the concept of terraforming, means that you had to have started in a healthy place, right? And you built towards where you're going.
That's good.
You know what I'm saying? That's good. So that's why on the front of the book and the front of the coffee can, you have two indigenous women. So one's an Ethiopian woman, Northeast, and the other one's Mayan. Because this, I mean, represents the equator where the beans grow.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And as you know, the first roasters were black women.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So
come
like
on ours.
Yes. Sheesh. So as the mothers of our ancestral mothers, you know what I'm saying? We're starting there. And then you build a livable world from that.
That's right? A bar. Yeah.
So you start with that. You start with and then the fact that like the point you were making about the soil, that like the soil EP is like the whole concept is that soil is sacred. And we're made of soil.
Yeah, and personally, I think that joint is my favorite of the four.
Yeah.
Resonate with that heavy.
And so you said to your point, well, I am made as an African, especially as somebody with Ethiopian indigeneity, I am made of the same soil.
Yeah.
Me and coffee are the same. We are the same soil.
Now, the poem, If Coffee Were a Man,
I
feel like that joint is like,
yeah, man.
It's seminal. You know what I mean?
Thank you, man.
Yeah, that thing is like, it's a whole thesis. I feel like my nieces and nieces is finna be studying that for many years to come.
Yeah, man.
And it's such a beautiful, like, thing to be in an industry like coffee and be black. Like, can we just give a moment for that?
Man,
like, to be black in the coffee industry is a beautiful thing. And I think
it's fulfilling.
It been beautiful, but I feel like people are realizing there's knowledge, dude, and there's information that, you know what I mean?
when I tell you I came to coffee probably like a lot of other people did.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know,
it's just
coffee
a drink.
Was at 7-Eleven, you know what I'm saying?
Crazy story.
And then
hold on.
Oh, you round two in. Yes.
Yeah.
And then when I started touring, you know, doing music, you popping into coffee shops because you're like, I just need Wi-Fi.
Yep.
You know? Then you start tasting the difference.
Yep.
And for me it was like, then I learned, oh, this is indigenous to Africa.
Yeah.
Then you start looking around, like,
yeah. Where are we at though?
It sure. Yeah. So in
it
my
don't
mind,
look like it over
yes.
Here.
So in my mind, my brain went straight to everything else Black people have given to culture that we're not
so
in charge
much.
Of.
Yeah,
you
so
know
much,
what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I was like,
so much.
It's early enough in my mind. This at least at the specialty level coffee, we're. It's early enough because I'm like,
to steal Terraform.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hip hop, gone.
Yeah, it's a wrap.
We lost it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, as far as being able to run the table.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're fighting from a deficit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So this one, I was like, we can't let another industry leave our control.
It's crazy you say that because that's exactly, like, not even going too long, but like, that's exactly my frame of mind.
Yeah.
Like, that's how I.
Yeah, but tell the people about Padiri.
One more thought. I want you to finish this.
No, you're good.
But I want you to finish this because I want to hear that, which is part of, for me, where my hip-hop battle competitive, where I'm like, no, I'm the dopest. Yeah. None of y'all want to mess with me.
Yeah.
I can sit that aside with the coffee industry because I'm like, no, this needs to be all of us.
Yeah.
It's a weird feeling to where you're like, I don't feel selfish. I don't feel, I'm like, no, well, more of us.
I can speak to that too, because like, you have, and that's part of the reason why I want you on, bro, is to give you your flowers, because like, you've, at least just for Coffee Black, you've put us on when you could have been like, nah, this is just me. And we talked about this privately, right?
Yeah.
But like, I want to give you your flowers thank publicly, you, because you put us on, not like in a like, you put us on like six-figure opportunities, several of them, and you just been like, yeah, I'm going to put you in this position. Well, you could have easily been like, nah, it's just me.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and it's like, it's really, really beautiful, because now, that set the precedent.
Yeah.
So like, that's how I moved already, but like, you giving that matter, like, I'm never ever switching.
Yeah.
So now when we get looks, it's like, boom, this leads me to like the opportunity we met, how me and Tremaine met was
it's
in the spirit of you being like, oh yeah, I'm gonna put you on my pandemic TV show.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, boom. I'm gonna hook you up with Mir. We gonna link y'all.
Yeah.
Okay, now you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's been crazy.
It's crazy.
Talk about that, but like how we even met, you know what I mean? We ain't got a ton of time, but I wanna just in Houston, we're there for the Color of Coffee Collective, which is the first ever BIPOC coffee conference.
Yeah.
And we end up meeting at Rice Box, bro, which is like,
so,
which is crazy.
It's crazy because my introduction to coffee was in direct sales with OrganoGo.
Okay. Multi-tier marketing?
Yeah.
Yep.
So,
all right.
I love it.
And let's
I
go.
Was like, I was like, and then I was 27.
Mm-hmm.
I had never sipped coffee.
Wow.
Until that. And I was like, oh, okay, so coffee is number two in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Come on,
liquid,
so we
after water. Some people say tea.
Well, maybe I can get rich.
Yeah,
yeah.
Maybe everybody else is driving Bentley, so let me try it. And invested all kind of amounts of money, and it didn't work out. But I was like, okay, well, coffee is not that bad. It's okay, and built a relationship with it. And then, like years later, just being on Instagram. Mess around and saw like the homie Dre Murray.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Dre.
Out to Dre.
Dre got
so
in.
So had his business, and then I'm like, well, man, I want to drink coffee, but I don't know where to buy it from, and I can't even remember how I even came across the IG. But it's like I came across the IG. The first bag of coffee that I bought online was Murray's.
Mm-hmm.
Coffee Black.
Gucci.
And Three Keys.
Sheesh. Wow.
All black.
Yeah. All black.
So that's all the coffee you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's great.
Like, and speak of Terraform, uh-huh. right? Like, what does the world look like where coffee had always been black?
Yeah.
This brother experiencing that, like, right now in real time. Like,
that was how I got started. So I'm sipping coffee, learn how to use a French press.
Yeah.
So, like, I only use a French press at the crib. So I'm like, man, this is cool. Then I started wanting to go to coffee shops. And it started off as a blog, Houston Coffee Chronicles. Uh-huh. So I'm going to different coffee shops. I'm like, okay, let's try these coffees. But one thing I noticed is that everywhere I went, I see some Kenyan, Tanzanian, Ethiopian. Mm-hmm. No, but like, and then you get some South American. Mm-hmm. But I was like, I know that's not the only
places they grow coffee. Yeah.
In Africa that has coffee. It got to be some other places. So I reached out to homies Equatorial and was like, what are green beans?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is 2021. So I'm like, what are green beans? Mm-hmm. He was like, what you mean? I was like, the coffee. He was like, yeah, you got to roast it. I was like, what you mean? He was like, you got to roast it. It don't come palatable.
It don't come like that. Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, well, let me figure it out. So I threw it on top of the stove. It took
you tried to figure it out?
Yeah. So he sent me two bags of samples. So I was like, well, dang, it's not really a lot. And I don't know what I'm doing. So I got to figure something out quick.
Yeah.
Burnt them on the stove. And I was like, it's crazy.
Like so we then all I did said, the first time.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm like, well, what's the easiest way to cook something? If you really can't cook, you can kind of put it in the oven and wait till it's golden brown.
Yeah.
Like, even if I don't know what I'm doing, yeah, I put it in the oven, much. Golden brown.
Then that thing started popping on you?
Yeah. So I put it cracking. In the oven. I put it in the oven. It started popping. I'm like, snap.
The crack. Yeah.
This is crazy. Yeah. And then I was like, this is like popcorn. So I'm telling my wife, baby, this is crazy. But I'm cooking in the house. So I burnt the first batch. And my wife don't drink coffee. So I cooked another batch. She was like, hey, this is really good.
Bad. Yeah.
It's not that bad. So I was like, okay. So I don't know. What we doing? Do? So I was like, well, let me see. I sent out a message to some folks at church. And I had ordered 15 pounds from Equatorial, and this was on April 8th, 2021. I sold out by the weekend.
Sheesh.
All pre-orders.
That's crazy.
Let's go.
So I was like, in my mind, I'm thinking, they crazy. They ain't even trying to coffee
yet.
They wild for this.
They fiending.
This is what's going
on. It is legal drugs, though. You know what I mean?
So, and it's crazy, like, to fast forward. I'm literally, my entire business started with my oven. Mm. I was roasting in my oven at home.
That's amazing.
And coming up to when we met, so I just kind of just was connecting with Bart online only. Mm-hmm. Saw he was coming down. At this time, I'm at 95 orders. Mm. But I developed nocturnal asthma, me and my youngest daughter, because of all the gas in the house.
From cooking the coffee. Dang.
I had no clue.
Why would
so
you
I'm
know?
Like, so yeah. I'm like, well, dang, I can't stop coughing. So I told my wife, I was like, I think we're going to have to shut the business down.
Mm.
Like, because I'm sick, Maddie's sick.
Yeah.
And we was like, all right. So I get to the rice box.
How you got to rice box was wild. Because, we was just, my man was like, hey, y'all in Houston? I was like, yeah, we in Houston. We ain't never met before. I was like, in the spirit, I was like, hey, pull up. I was just pull up. Yeah. Like, I dropped the pin.
And it when I pull up, Twiz is there.
Mm-hmm. And it's not just you.
Yeah. Yeah.
You pull up with your whole family, bro.
Yeah, the whole squad.
wife
and kids.
Kids.
But. Like I had been telling the my wife and kids, I was like, oh yeah, this is Bart. He on the Coffee Black. This is a coffee I've been buying. He gonna be in the rice box. I was like, we gotta go. Y'all gotta come with me. We gotta experience it.
Yeah.
And like he asked me questions about my story, and I'm just like, I'm sharing my story.
Mm-hmm.
I'm chopping it up. We talking. We laughing. We crying. Everybody shedding tears.
I had no
clue who Antoine was, who Twiz was. So I'm sharing my story like I am now. And we leave. I meet T.O. for the first time.
Yeah, T.O. was there. Shout out to Three Keys.
We leave, and Antoine was like, hey, bro, I got this machine. I got a hot top. I give it to you do you want it? I was like, yeah. He was like, I'll let you have it. And I had been trying to figure out how I'm going to save up this $2,000
to get this hot top
so I don't roast at home.
Yeah.
And he gave it to me. So then that gave me the opportunity to continue the business.
Yeah.
So 50, 60, 75 orders later, I'm like, man, I'm cooking so much on a hot top. I got this fan. I'm pouring the fan over the hot top to cool it down so I can continue to roast.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, I started linking up with T.O. Three Keys.
Yeah.
He was like, bro.
Just roast here.
I was like, yeah.
Sheesh.
So now you look at 2 years later.
Bro.
I got a spot that I supply downtown in a hotel resort and spa in Galveston.
Dog.
And it all came from connections, people that look like me that didn't say, I'm finna charge you. No, you're gonna have to pay me this amount of money or else. Like,
bro,
everybody just wanted me to win. So it's all I know. Like, they have started my company.
Yeah. Like, if I can say this, like, this is the craziest part, bro, because I really feel like the Most High use you as a vessel for this blessing we discovered in Ethiopia. Didn't discover it. They taught us, right?
Yeah.
The Bunafi Nagea Hendabina, which means may your house lack no coffee nor peace. Yeah. This feeling that coffee is supposed to be the seeds of peace. It's a vessel to transfer peace between all of creation. Which when you think about Terraform and the message you're saying, like, this is the message the Most High passed down through this term. And by you being obedient in that area, bro, like, that blessed me. And you seen the ADCC and all the homies and people that's blessed. And then me just walking in alignment, met this brother and his whole family. So, like, I just so you can see, because, like, people don't get the opportunity. Like,
deeper.
Yo, the legacy of what you're doing, man.
Wow.
And it's so important. And a big reason why I wanted to do the Black Barista Exchange Program is so that people could really see the possibility of blackness in coffee.
Yeah.
Like, so if this is anything, it's like the Coffee Black State of the Union.
Because
to me, this opportunity is a chance for people to see and connect, because I feel like y'all are really making history, have made history. Mm-hmm. And we all gonna see each other when we reach, you know, up yonder, but like, we wanna see the generations now, bro. Like,
so I gotta say this too. This
we got five. 5 minutes,
even,
by the way.
Even with coffee and understanding about the origins in Ethiopia made me want to figure out where I could get African coffee from. But I didn't want to do Ethiopian or anywhere because I'm like, I'm used to seeing it, which is why I chose a Rwandan bean.
Come on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and even how that started, like going, like moving units and stuff like that. And Chris from Umuko,
shout out to Umuko,
actually reached out to me on Instagram and was like, hey, I see you doing Rwandan coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We have an ethically sourced. Yeah. We on the farms, we got the connections.
And we met them in Rwanda too. You know what
right,
I mean?
So right, shout right.
Out, they're a vertically integrated farmer to exporter to importer company. Like very, very rare. Type beat, you know what I mean?
Which is what I was looking for too, because I was like, how can I offer coffee and it's not ethical?
Yeah,
and
I remember, I need to know.
At a farmer's market, a lady asked me that before she sipped my coffee.
Yeah.
She said, hey, it looks great, but is it fair trade?
Yeah.
And I was like, yo, we good. You know what I'm saying? But
we scrape.
It's ethical. Like, ma'am.
Yeah. Let me introduce you to the farming family.
His name is.
Yeah.
He lives right here.
Let's get on FaceTime. Yeah.
It opened up my mind, to how the seriousness of what we do.
When you learn, like, I know we're so short on time, but, like, for me, like, it was important to add the diaspora. That's why the other side's Mayan.
Come on. Because you introduced this concept to me, too, of, like, being African is being indigenous.
Yeah.
Not on some erasure tip, but like indigenous.
They are the indigenous
people of Africa.
Land. Yeah, you know.
Yeah, like break that down because people don't, you know what I mean?
Yeah, when we say indigenous, usually in America, we mean like native.
Yeah, American, First Nations.
You know, First Nations. First Nations is actually a better term for indigenous, period. You know?
Yeah.
People have been moving forever. But so the African tribe were the indigenous of that land. So I think when you see that connection between us and you know, Central and South America.
This man
America,
over here getting freaky with the brew. Yeah, he's showing naked.
That's why we blend a lot.
Yeah.
Where the double cup at? Hold on.
It's amazing. Yeah, I'm double cupping everywhere I go, bro. It's H-Town all day long.
I love it, bro. It's crazy.
I think there's a strength here. Like, okay, so quick history story. When Angolan indigenous people, you know, were enslaved and landed in Brazil before they came north, a lot of them broke free.
Mm.
And they created a community in the jungles out there that was one of the first, like, free black, like, formerly enslaved communities in Central America, right?
Yeah.
One of the first ones. Because, you know, we went there first before it came out. You know what I'm saying? So they were never, they could never be, they were never re-enslaved because they just knew how to live in that jungle, in that forest. Now, if you understand Angola and Brazil,
that's bro.
It's the same jungle.
Oh my gosh. It's Pangea.
It's Pangea. Yeah, it's just an ocean in between. Yeah. So when they got here, they were like, oh, we know this.
We know these plants.
We know these trees.
Crazy.
So they were able to communicate.
Yeah, come on, bro.
With the natives.
That's wild.
Because they are us. And we are them. You know what I'm saying?
That's crazy.
So okay, I'm about to get super weird on you, but I think I envision myself, because I grew up in LA, I'm my Black Panther father, but I grew up in a Latino neighborhood. I married a Southern Mexican woman whose granddad is black as hell. You know what I'm saying? So, like, again, because of the slave trade, whatever, right?
Yeah.
So, anyway, I picture in my mind's eye little indigenous African me wandering freely finding a village, but that village, they're Mayans. And they welcome me in and teach me their thing. And I remember, and I can picture my little brain looking back at my village and them being like, no, they're good. We love them.
We are,
You know what I'm saying? Enjoy yourself. Bro. And them teaching me their ways. Because, again, I grew up in a Latino space. You know what I'm saying? So, and them being like, no. And I remember being, I can just see it in my brain, little me being like, oh, I understand you guys.
Yeah.
I get this because this reminds me of us.
Come on.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I think that, like you said, just this the beauty of that, like, experience of, like, there wasn't always an ocean in between us.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That's crazy.
So that's why I'm like, it's, for me, that black and brown unity has always been important to me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, bro.
And I think it's beautiful that, like, and we grow, and they grow coffee.
Only people growing coffee is melanated people, bro.
You know what I'm saying?
And you can't, the Dutch tried when they stole coffee from the Porto Mocha, and they went into the Netherlands, and that joint said, Like, it
didn't work.
You know what I mean? Like, the ecosystem, your God was like, nah, you good, bro. You straight, little man. Like, you straight, buddy. So I think as we wrap this joint, man, like, one of the things I wanted to touch on was, well, one, it's beautiful that you brought up that piece about Brazil, because that's the next release we're doing is an Afro-Brazilian coffee curated by Phyllis Johnson. So, and this is the first time those people have been visible in the coffee industry in a very, I mean, if we don't get black people in Brazil, we don't have a coffee industry.
Facts.
Globally.
Yeah.
Because their invisible labor is what allowed coffee to become the ever-present copious drink that's cheap and affordable, blah, blah, blah. And so, like, we're really excited to drop that. And I think it's beautiful that you brought that up, because, like, to me, that's Coffee Black was always supposed to be a curriculum. Mm-hmm. Like, our coffees were supposed to be Coffee 101. We start where it started, which is in Ethiopia. You can follow the slave trade through coffee. So that's a beautiful thing. And I wanted to say, Tika, speaking about, like, there wasn't always an ocean and, like, the bridge between land masses and, like, people crossing waters. How y'all feel about the Montgomery Brawl? You know what I mean? As we get ready to dip, because, like, you know what I mean? Like, speaking of hopping in these waters for our melanated brothers and sisters, what my grandma from Alabama, my mama and my grandma's from Alabama, and, like, growing up as a kid, like, being in Alabama, like, it just low-key was impossible to see a moment like that happen. And I'm curious for you all, like, especially being in the coffee industry, and all of us, whether we're doing an all-black supply chain or trying to work with indigenous people in the supply chain or working with specifically with, like, vertically integrated companies in Rwanda for the supply chain, like, all of us are in this labor of saying, I'm trying to be like Aquaman. I'm trying to be the coffee Pull Aquaman.
Yeah.
And in Memphis right now, there's the original Aquaman, Tom Lee.
Yeah.
They got a park remembering this brother that's done by Theister Gates. They're about to drop the statue, and we're going to be there next weekend. So I'm, like, excited to see, like, for you all, just as we close, and especially going heading to the Black Barista Exchange program fundraising dinner, right? Like, what for you, what is the significance, the importance of following this Montgomery Brawl model and hopping in these waters to be able to pull up and support? Even if you're not pulling up with fisticuffs, like financially pulling up, or like, what's the significance of that to you as we close this episode? And you can speak to your brands, you can speak to whatever you want to talk about.
I would just say definitely unity.
Mm-hmm.
And just being fearless, because I jumped in these waters without knowing what to do. It's just like jumping off a building and trying to get some wings on the way down, you know. But like, awesome. I just know that the Lord led me, like, even with the name. So Padiri in the Kenya Rwanda language means father. And the farm where I get my coffee from, a lot of those farms, I think it's from Matriarch, where a lot of those women are single parent homes. They're trying to feed their families. And we always think about fatherhood and providing. So my name is attached to those women. And I have become, in a distant way somewhat, as a father who is providing for these families with only purchasing Rwandan beans. So it started off as a blog to a business to now it's a mission, because I'm like, I can't stop because I'm supporting and helping other people feed their families and eat. Not even in like a colonial type of colony, you know, type deal.
Yeah, not even on some white savior energy.
But like, no, I am literally becoming a help for my people who look like me, especially growing up in a single-parent home. My dad was never around. You feel me? To being the oldest of two boys, and like, now I'm able to give back what, as a child, I wanted to give back to my mom. But I couldn't. I was just a young boy, so I just took care of my little brother. But now I'm able to say, oh, I'm actually investing my cash and supporting other people from a native land where my people come from. You know what I'm saying?
Dang.
I'll make it really fast. He gave us the watch.
All right.
Yeah, I think real fast. I think it's the the symbol of our collective identity. I think we actually, it actually sits in a longer history of like, we've been resisting the whole time. Like, that's not the first time we fought back. You know what I'm saying? So, and I think that that's important to remember. Like, we fought back before. You know? And it's just beautiful to watch after seeing have people have no recourse after beating us senseless.
Bro.
We're actually able to watch.
And you've seen that story go.
They get back.
And I think, like, for us.
That's really why we liked it.
Bro.
Like,
especially old boy.
You finally got your get back.
Especially old boy sneaking up when he was, like creeping. I was like, oh, yeah, he got it.
And
on
nobody. Bro, and it was like, there was no question in our mind that the chair dude was going to jail.
Bro.
Like, I immediately looked for the GoFundMe.
I said he took
the I was like, let me go ahead.
I mean, we all knew, like, ah, you shouldn't have
said, okay, he tripping.
But, yeah, I was like, everybody was like, man, go and support his GoFundMe. He need a bail.
Yeah.
And it's like, but we all been in bras. You've been scrapping. You get punched drunk. I'm just swinging.
You don't know who you care. You just mission minded.
It's like WWE.
And I think, like, man, anyway, when we talk about why we're doing the All Black Supply Chain, why we're doing the Black Barista Exchange Program, why we doing the Anti-Gentrification Coffee Club, it's just, bro, like, I just want to get my lick in. You know what I mean? Like, I ain't even got to win. I just, like, whatever resources that the Most High is giving me, I'm at least, if I go down, I ain't going to go down. I'm going to go down swinging. Like, and it's like,
When white people learn what spin the block means, it ain't going to be because I told them.
Yeah.
That's what I know.
Yeah.
I'm not telling them. They not taking another one of our slang.
Yeah.
And it ain't going to be my fault. Yep. If they figure it out, they figure it out. But it ain't going to be my fault.
Nah, that's what it is, bro. So, like, we about to head over to this dinner. Man, last thing I want to talk about, I know we can't, but we'll talk about this. No, we're just going to talk about this. So stay tuned. There'll be a part two with the in-part panel conversation, but I want to talk about the transition from merch to business.
Oh, yes.
Like the transition from artist to entrepreneur.
Yes.
And we'll have that in person when we're at the dinner after we full on Ethiopian food from Prince Lobo and Loaf. So let's get it in. Hey, look, y'all keep that coffee black. Make sure you tap into the Patreon. Tap into the Anti-Gentrification Coffee Club subscription so you can make sure we can keep doing these type of things. And if you want to see the whole fully unedited version of that, you know, Patreon, you know the vibe is it. Keep that coffee black.
Throw y'all a promo code on the website.
Come on,
I'll make it right now when we get in the car.
Yes.
Promo code black.
Yeah, the code is black. Tap into Padiri Coffee Company as well.
PadiriCoffeeCompany.com.
Yeah. Come on. And, yeah, family, we're going to keep that coffee black. We out.
Coffee stay black just like me. Don't need no sugar, don't need no cream. Coffee stay black just like me. Black like me. Black like me. Black like me. Black like me.